I'm walking on the field, and one of the midfielders goes, "Oh, we finally recruited a small goalie. I'm 6 foot 3, but DeLuca's 6'6", and Dylan Ward is 6'5". And I was like, I guess I am the short guy on the team now. That's interesting. I've never been there before."
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to lacrosse goalies. And on this show, I like to interview the best goalies in our sport and find out what makes them so great. What are the stories they can tell us, the mindsets that they have, the drills that they do, how they think about this great sport and this great position. And hopefully with each episode, you can learn a thing or two that you can bring into your own lacrosse goalie game. I know with each episode, I certainly learn tons of things from each guest. My guest on the show this week is Air Force Academy graduate Jason Rose, Jay Rose. He actually had a tryout and made the Water Dogs was on the Water Dogs roster for a couple weeks while Dylan Ward was on paternity leave, a professional goalie. Awesome career at Air Force. Awesome young man. Great interview. I know you're going to learn a ton. Please enjoy my conversation with Jay Rose. Before we get started with this episode, a quick word from our sponsor, and it is the Goalie Summit 11. The Goalie Summit is back. If you've never been to one of these events, you are in for a treat. It is 4 days of awesome training sessions from the best lacrosse goalie coaches in our sport. It's all free. It's all virtual. You're going to learn a ton. You're going to have a ton of fun. We've got sponsors sponsoring the event who are giving us tons of lacrosse goalie gear to give away. Get your free ticket at goaliesummit.com. It's December 11th through the 14th. 16 of the best coaches, awesome pro goalies, Drake Porter, Matt DeLuca on the women's side. We got Molly Doherty, ex-Athletes Unlimited goalie Katie Glynn, just got third place in Athletes Unlimited. Amazing mental game sessions, amazing physical training sessions. We're covering so much. It's going to be awesome. Goalie Summit 11. Get your ticket at goaliesummit.com. It's free to attend live. There is the VIP pass available if you want to get lifetime access to all the replays. You'll get that info after you sign up at goaliesummit.com. We get started December 11th, and I hope to see you there. Well, let's get this party started. It's a pleasure to welcome to the podcast Jason Rose, recent graduate of Air Force. Jay, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a long time coming. Long time coming. Yeah. I'm glad we were able to make it happen. I'd love to hear the story of you first jumping into goal. You remember that? Your very first save or the first time you played goalie?
I remember a little bit of it. So I was a midfielder, and I loved playing midfield, loved scoring goals and everything. And our goalie didn't show up one day to practice or to a game. He couldn't make it. And so they threw me in for the first half. And I did relatively well, and they decided not to throw anyone else in the second half or for the rest of my career, more like it.
That's it. So that's it.
How
you
I
do.
Got my start.
You make a couple saves right out of the chute, and they're like, "That's it. He's our goalie, huh?"
That's our guy. And I was I grew up youngest of a good amount of siblings, and in an active neighborhood, so I was always thrown in goal when the older kids were playing street hockey. So I was used to getting shots thrown at me for quite a while, my whole life, basically.
Yeah, I bet your older brothers and the folks in the neighborhood were like, yeah, now we got a great goalie to shoot on. I mean, that is one of the reasons I think people become goalies, is that the older brother kind of makes them like, hey, put these pads on and get in there. But it sounds like you might have found it before, and then they lucked out.
Yeah, shooting on an empty net's not as fun.
That's right. That's right. And you, it says your hometown is Garnet Valley, Pennsylvania. Is that a big, lacrosse hub? Is there a lot going on there lacrosse wise?
Yeah, we had a pretty good team. So my junior year, it was interesting. We had 9 senior starters. I was the only starter that was a junior, and we had a lot of talent on that team, which helped me out my whole career. We our starting attack was Jacob Buttermore, Matt Moore, and Denny Nealon, who all went on to play Division I and do very well. And obviously, Matt is continuing to do very well. He just won a championship with the Archers.
Yeah, Matt Moore. That's amazing. So how did you go about then, once you sort of get the taste of goalie and you stick with it, how did you go about learning the position, learning how to make saves?
So I never really had a goalie coach, but I think one of the best coaches for goalies is attackmen and midfielders who can shoot the heck out of the ball. Mm-hmm. And my high school coach is Frank Urso, who was a legend at Maryland. They retired his number, and he said that the best way to play goalie is to make them miss the net. And I think that's something that I've always lived by, and that kind of makes me feel better about save percentage. Doesn't really mean as much as it might look like on the stat sheet, because there could have been 10 shots that you stepped out of the net enough to make them think, oh, there's nothing to shoot at right now. And mm-hmm. they just sail it an inch high. And that's as good as a save some of the times. And that's something I've kept with me my whole career, is make them miss the net. And my job's a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Especially, you know, we'll get to your PLL experience, but especially in the PLL format of, like, you know, real short shot clock. How many shot clock violations, turnovers do you see because, you know, they miss the net 2 or 3 times, right? So it's even more valuable, right?
This year was interesting with the short shot clock. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you say make them miss the net, and there's a young goalie who, like, might not know what that means, like, talk to me a little bit more about that.
So I would say that positioning is well over half the battle of playing goalie. If you're showing them the whole near side of the net and you think you're dead center, you're starting at a huge disadvantage. And that's just, like, one example, but make them miss the net. I say cut down the angle as much as possible. So it's interesting listening to other goalies talk about their game and a flat arc. And some people do this, but like I said, I never really had a goalie coach. So mm-hmm. I kind of had a loose leash. So I've always crept out a little further. And as my career went on at Air Force, I actually started creeping out a lot further. There's a handful of shots this year that my toes were outside of the arc when they were releasing the ball. And I think those are some fun saves to see, because people are like, why was he out so far? And I think a good time to use it is on a question mark. Yeah. People coming up the field, attackman isn't really looking, and they turn and see you on toes on the arc. They're likely going to miss that shot, because whether it hits you in the chest or they sail it wide, or it's just an ugly looking shot, because they do not see that very often. So make them miss.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Yeah, especially on that question mark, because that's one of the times. I have this great video that I'm going to do a reel of pretty soon, but it's one of those times where, like, they're looking at you as they kind of go up the field, and then they turn their back, right? And then as they're turning their back, when they pick you up again and you're, like, another foot closer, 2 feet closer, it's like, whoa, you almost, like, scare them into missing the goal. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 Now, sticking on that topic. So Dylan Ward's, you know, famous for being sort of a high arc goalie. You played with the Water Dogs. Is that, like, did they sort of pick you up because you had, like, a similar style to him, or nothing to do with it?
So I never heard that's why they picked me up.
Okay.
But it is interesting, and I've heard it from a handful of players during practice, that stepping out like that is always effective, and I do it in a similar fashion. But unfortunately, I've never had the pleasure of playing with him, because I fill in when he's out.
Gotcha.
So we haven't got to talk a whole lot of strategy. We were talking a lot this past weekend. Awesome dude. He's such a good dude.
He is. I, right when I got this podcast going, right? Like, you know, I'm still like, now I got this nice microphone. I got this Lax Goalie Rat fat head behind me. I was recording on these little earbuds. Like, this is where my audio was kind of Dylan Ward, episode number 3. And oh, I'm like, yeah? I know no idea what I'm doing. Here I am interviewing the best goalie in the world, right?
Yeah.
But he's a good guy, real good guy.
He's really good. And that locker room is pretty awesome. The Matt DeLuca, he's amazing, and he stepped in this weekend and played unbelievable.
Yeah. He's awesome too.
It's a good environment over there.
Yeah. So if I'm a young goalie, I want to learn the high arc. How do you is it about reps? Is it about maybe just watching maybe some tape of you play at Air Force or Dylan Ward play with the Water Dogs and kind of just getting a feel for when he comes out? Or how would you advise a young goalie go about learning how to do that high arc?
So it's really a time and place thing. If you're in tight, maybe a high arc isn't what you like, and you mm-hmm. got to practice. It's like you said, it's about reps. So I like to step out when I know for a fact that there's a shot. One of my favorite times to do it is on man up, and you see out of the corner of your eye, say someone in the top left is open, and you know your rotation isn't going to get there in time. You plan, you wait, and as soon as they catch it, you step out at as big of a step as you can take.
Yeah.
And they look, and you can kind of see it in their eyes that they're like, oh no, I was not expecting someone to be that far out of the net. And
yeah,
they're not seeing as much cage.
Yeah, that is a great time.
So I would say it's a time and a place thing.
Time and place thing. Yeah, exactly. Because if you're too far out, right, and the shot's not coming, it's so hard. That's sort of the drawback, is like, it's hard to get pipe to pipe, or it's hard to get from top center down to the pipe if you're playing that high arc and there's no shot. But really the time to do it is when the shot is imminent, like when you know that shot's going to come. And you gave a great example. Another one that I like too is like, sometimes, you know, they'll feed the crease and the guy, the person's not looking at you per se, but you know they're going to catch, turn and shoot, right?
Quick
That's
shot.
A really good time to, I think, you know, because you could sneak out, and like we talked about with the question mark dodge, when they turn around, it's like, whoa, you almost sort of scare them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So I love that, the high arc. It's really interesting because, yeah, you do hear a lot of goalies talk about how they play the low arc now, just to give myself a lot more time and room. And I think there's pros and cons of each, but there's certainly, even if you are a low arc goalie, there's an argument to be made. Like, you can come out at certain moments and be more effective.
Totally. Right?
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. So, and then high school lacrosse, talk to me about that. I guess at that point you start to realize like, oh, like I'm, you know, saving Matt more every day in practice. Maybe I could play at the D1 level.
Maybe not every day sometimes, but I mean, there were so many good players on my team. He's just one of the most notable ones that a lot of people know.
Yeah.
My high school experience was interesting. So the goalie in front of me for a little while, there was a whole situation there that I felt like I thought that I was the better goalie. But in the long run, maybe that helped me out because I got to learn how to hopefully be a better teammate and help other people out in ways that sometimes you can't as a starter. Like, you can't really take as many extra reps after practice as a starter, because if you get a broken thumb after practice, that's kind of something that might not be looked on highly by your coach. So I started my junior year in high school and had a relatively good high school career. And I committed to Air Force when I was December or January of my freshman year. So the rule wasn't in place yet for the September 1st cutoff, or I can't remember exactly what date it is, but
yes,
that wasn't in place. I was grandfathered out of that. So what, I was committed there for a while.
Well, congrats on that. I want to talk about that. But first of all, going back to that scenario that you had in high school, because that can be kind of common, right? Like, there's sometimes where goalies, you know, you got to pick one. You got to pick one goalie. You got to pick one starter. The coach has to pick one starter. And sometimes it could be hard to like differentiate, like, who's the guy. And they just sort of pick for whatever reason. Maybe it's political. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe he likes that other goalie more than you. And they say like, well, I'm better than that goalie. What should I do? And that's a tough situation, right? But you know, to you, what you did was you said, all right, this is an opportunity for me to get in some extra work that I might not be able to. So you sort of proved to him that, like, I'm just going to keep working hard to earn that spot when my time comes, right? What other tips would you give to a young goalie in that might be in that same situation that you were in?
So I think the best way that you can be a good goalie is being a good teammate. A lot of what goalie is having people trust you and trust that you have the best intentions and that you're not a selfish player. So in a sense where maybe, so I'm trying to think of how to articulate this.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the most important things about being a good goalie is being a good teammate, right? I 100% agree with that. And how do you do that? Right? Like, how do you be a good teammate? It's, you know, there's two ways to go. Like, if I don't get that starting role, I could pout, I could complain, I could do all these like negative things, right? Or I could be a good teammate. What does that mean? Like rooting on others, getting my reps in. Cause I'll tell you this, Jay, a backup goalie is probably only about 15 seconds away from becoming a starting goalie, right? I mean, you saw it in the PLL championship this weekend. DeLuca's the backup. 15 seconds happen and Dylan gets hurt. So you could be in there at any moment. So you were just talking about being a good teammate, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was in college, I was behind Braden Host, who was an amazing goalie. And at one point he was having a rough senior season. And I was a sophomore at the time, and it just happened that I was going to be the guy from now on, and a lot of people on the team knew it. And the last time that he got pulled and was in the game, he was upset. He's a competitor, mm-hmm. and it's okay to be upset. And the second that the fourth quarter started when I got put in, he was my number one fan.
Yeah.
That's something really cool about the locker room at Air Force. Like, he was my number one fan, and Quinn Richards and all the guys who were on our goalie roster this past year, like, number one fans. We've got such amazing teammates, and that's what it's all about. Because if you don't build trust on your team when you go into the game, it's all about what the defense wants behind them. I think that's a really important part of aspect of goalie that I was trying to get at earlier.
Yeah.
Is you can have two guys who save the ball very similarly, or maybe one guy who even saves it a little better than this other guy. But which guy does the defense want behind them? That's the main part about being a goalie. You want someone who's going to let in a goal, be pissed at themselves, or who's going to step up, say, that one was my fault. Let's fix the problem here. And encourage them. Like, you're good. I got to get that one next time, but let's build on it with this way. So yeah. That's kind of what I was getting at on being like the best teammate that you can be.
Yeah. How else do you build trust? You know, being a good teammate is certainly one way. How else can you build trust? How else did you?
Consistency and showing effort. I mean, you can be the guy one game. You can step in net, 15 saves, 5 goals against, and you can think, all right, that's enough work for the week. Or you can be after practice, taking shots, get there early, get shots, get a better warm-up than you usually do, and say, all right, time to build off of that, not time to get complacent. Mm-hmm. And people notice. I mean, I noticed all the guys that were at practice early every day, and they're the guys that make differences on the team.
Love that. Yeah. Yeah. Put in the work. That's an easy way to build trust, especially as like an underclassman, right? Cause you don't need any seniority to do that. I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What was it about Air Force in particular that you like so much? Pretty far away from home, all the way over there in Colorado.
Pretty far away from home, but yeah, it's nice to have a second home now.
There you go.
I mean, honestly, when I was getting recruited, it was more of a financial thing,
mm-hmm.
because you get paid to be a cadet, not a student athlete. That's a very important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
But now that NIL is here, you're actually not allowed to take NIL. I remember you and Knox were talking about that a little bit. So that was a tough scenario for a little while, seeing everyone get paid a little bit and not being able to take advantage of that. But financially is the reason I went to Air Force. But I tell everyone, if I were to go back in time and be a millionaire, knowing what I know now, I would go back 10 times out of 10.
Really? First of all, on that NIL thing, I was super surprised about that. I was like, if anyone deserves an NIL deal, it's people, you know, from the Air Force and the Army and the Navy, because I respect those guys a ton. And by the way, thank you for your service to our country as well. Thank respect you, those guys it. A ton. But you would, so everything being done, you'd go, you know, even if you had it, money was no issue, you would go back and do it all over again because?
The people, I've met my best friends from the rest of my life, and the experience I had playing lacrosse, we didn't see as much success on the field as we would have liked to see, but some of my best lacrosse memories ever. I mean, we did some pretty cool stuff on and off the field as a team that I don't think a lot of schools do. And there's a different bond, I think, between service academy teams and other teams. And that's not to downplay the bond that other teams have. I think ours are just a little different.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Some of my best memories are obviously like the big wins. Like those are like so impactful, but some of the other ones are just like, you know, goofing around while you're stretching in the practice, you know, and
we had
this one attackman that did a really good rendition of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car, and you know, he'd get it going and just all these little stupid things that, you know, that are just, but they're like such great memories that I have from your college playing experience, right?
It's the little things in the stretching lines that really do it.
That's right. So you guys mentioned you might have a different bond or you talk to me a little bit more about that if you could.
Yeah, I mean, we go through a lot, and tough times make tough people, and you're in a locker room full of guys that went through basic training, a lot of them together, so you're really tight with your class and everything. But you know that you've been through a bunch of stuff, and sometimes you have a really tough day. You get a bad grade in school, you get yelled at for something in the military, and then you get down to practice, and it's all smiles because you know that you're walking down with your 50 best friends, and no matter how well or poorly you play that day, you have the blessing of being able to hang out with your best friends and getting away from some tough times on the hill, we call it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Love it. When you get to the Air Force Academy, does your goalie game change at all?
I think it changes by the week, maybe. Mm. So this year was the most dramatic change in my goalie game. But I've always tweaked it week by week. But this year in November, I took a step and I blew out my knee. So ACL gone, meniscus partially torn. Oof. And I knew the second that I took that step that it was messed up. And my trainer was tugging at it, said, well, maybe. And I was like, what's the deal? She's like, it's torn, tore your ACL. I was like, okay, yeah. Well, I want to play. She is the best trainer in the country, Jean Anderson. And she was like, we can start rehab tomorrow. And so I started rehab on strengthening everything around my knee so that I could trick my body into thinking that I had enough stability to play. They ordered a brace for me, and I was able to play the rest of the season in a little bit of pain sometimes, but all in all, I would never give up my senior season for one bad step.
On a torn ACL, you played that entire season?
Yeah, it was the text we got from the doctor said blown to smithereens.
Oh man. Wow.
Yeah, it was tough.
How do you mentally, that's gotta be tough. How do you go out there knowing that you're only, I don't know, 50% or 60% or something, you know, you're not 100%, right? How do you face the best shooters in the world, you know, or at least the top caliber of shooters, knowing that?
trust the guys in front of you, and you have a lot of faith, and you build that. And same thing, they know that I'm a hard enough worker that I can get back to where I need to be to play. I wouldn't have put myself in the game if I didn't think I would give our team the best opportunity to win.
Yeah.
And I still think that, hurt knee and all, my training this year was harder than it's ever been in my life. And it was a really unique experience, something that I wouldn't wish on someone, but going through what I went through was pretty special in the whole recovery process and learning how to play differently. You asked earlier if I had like the changes I made. I realized this year that like when I played goalie, I always knew that I would collapse my knees down, and that's how I got some low shots. If my stick wasn't there, there was like, you can't count the amount of times that I've pinned the ball in the ground with my knees collapsing that deep.
Like a butterfly.
Yep. In hockey. It's the street goalie coming up.
Yeah, there you go.
Street hockey. But I couldn't do that this year because my knee wouldn't go that way.
Right.
And I started to realize before other teams started to realize, because you know your flaws more than other people do.
Yeah.
That's my five hole. I was like, I couldn't really get there this year. So there was one week that I noticed it more than the rest. And I probably took 100, 150 shots in the five hole every single day before, after practice. When I was getting warmed up, I go anywhere high, anywhere hips, anywhere low. And I was telling the guys warm me up, I'm like, sneak like one out of every three shots, put a five hole. No matter what spot we're on, put a five hole. And I just hammered the five hole that week, and had to learn a completely different way to play, different way to move my feet, how to drop my butt down a little more sometimes, maybe I kick my foot out further. So playing around with a couple different strategies and learning the game with a different body this year was something really interesting and fun, honestly, to do. Frustrating, but fun.
Yeah, I imagine. Frustrating beyond beyond all means. I imagine at a certain point, maybe you're not this way, but many athletes would start to feel like, oh man, you know, like feel sorry for themselves. Like, why did this happen to me? Right. Like, but no, I mean, you're playing the deck of, you're playing the cards that you're dealt with, and you're just going to go out there and right. Even though you might be at 50%, you're going to give 100% of that 50%. If that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. My team is super helpful in that whole process. I had a lot of people in my life say that, like, you're going to hurt your knee more. Don't do it. And some of my best friends on my team came up and like hit me on the back, and they were like, you're not done, right? It's like, no, no way. And they were like,
yeah,
you got it. You can absolutely do it. And having some of those people come up that I respect so much for how they approached life and the game, having them believe in me meant a lot more than some of those people know.
Beauty. And how's the knee now?
Still torn.
Torn. Like, you haven't had the surgery or anything?
No, I'm waiting to get the surgery for a little bit longer so I can hopefully keep the dream alive.
All right. Okay. You're an animal, man. You're an animal. Just playing on one good knee. I love it. Awesome. So when you're like in college or maybe even high school, did you kind of watch some of the pros or some of the college guys when you were younger? And if so, like, who, anybody come to mind on who you kind of watched and learned from?
So I never missed one of my brother's lacrosse games, and my brother played goalie for Air Force also before me.
Oh, cool.
So same high school. I watched him growing up all the time. Tyler Morrell, a name that you probably don't know. He played at Cabrini for a year or two. He was a fun goalie to watch. He was about 6'6", maybe 6'7". And he would switch hands depending on where they were on the field. He played at Episcopal school in Philly, not Dallas. So he was a blast to watch. And Connor Kelly, the old Notre Dame goalie who went to the Haverford school. Those are a couple guys that I can think of off the bat that I would watch and be, man, their game's fun.
Yeah, I like that. Especially what was the big goalie switched hands? I'll have to find some tape on that guy.
Tyler Morrell.
Tyler Morrell. I do envision a day when, like, It makes a lot of sense. Like if I'm a righty, right? And I'm on my right shoulder's on the right pipe, like having your stick on this side, like get it on that other, I don't know, right? Doesn't it seem to make a lot of sense?
I always enjoyed watching it, but I don't think I ever had the gall to try it in a game.
Yeah, I never did, but I've tried it in practice, and it's another thing to learn. But you think about it, like, I don't know, like I played baseball growing up, right? And you wear your glove on your off hand, on your non-strong hand, and you catch like that. So you've got that level of coordination with your left hand as well. Man. We'll see. We'll see if that ever becomes a thing, right?
I'm sure it will at some point.
All right. When you're out there in the PLL, someone's winding up for a crank shot, hit him with a switch and then make that save. I'll help you go viral and we'll just start this whole trend.
But if I give it a go, I'll expect a call.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Shoot me a text. Be like, Damon, I did it. I did it. We got it.
Will do.
Yeah. I love it. So when you guys are students, cadets at the Air Force, talk to me a little bit about, you know, your day by day there. Are you guys flying planes?
So unfortunately, it's a little harder for athletes to get in some of those programs because you're down practicing for 6-7 hours a day. You're in the locker room, and that's when a lot of those programs happen. And you have all your, you go to all your classes in the morning, and then you march to lunch. Eat lunch with the whole school and then do a little something for the military time. And then you're down practicing. And for me this year, it was a lot of go down early, rehab, warm up, rehab, work out my leg, practice, weights, rehab, head up to my room, grab some homework.
Wow. How big is the school? Like how many students?
4,000.
4,000. Wow. And everyone's in one mess hall. Eating lunch together?
It's pretty impressive. The whole thing happens in 20 minutes.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. And is there like how structured, is there like lights out time and like a certain wake up time, or you're on your own there?
You're on your own for waking up and going to sleep, but there's times for it. You hear reveille in the morning that will wake you up, but you can kind of sleep through it if you have an easier schedule.
Yeah.
And same thing, there's taps every night that is kind of a start going to bed, quiet down a little bit. People are trying to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And do you guys there's some young kids that listen to this, so maybe they can plug their ears at this point, but do you guys like cut loose a little bit? Like, do you get to party at all, or it's more, we don't do that.
I had a very good time at Air Force. Enjoyed myself quite a bit.
All right, maybe we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. You could tell me some other stories off the air, huh? But all right, so you do get to have a little bit of a college experience in that manner.
Freshman year, you're locked down quite a bit. After March of your freshman year, you're as recognized as anyone else in the school.
Okay.
You might not have the authority that some other people have.
Okay. Is there a special name for the freshmen?
We call them dualies. I don't know what the official, we call them fourth classes or dualies.
Dualies. I like it. I like it. Awesome. Very cool. What about, you know, when you talked about kind of taking a lot of five-hole shots, were there any like particular drills or that you like to do that really you think really upped your game, or for you was it a lot about just taking a lot of reps?
It was a lot of reps, but for a little while I kind of broke my body down into sections.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, all right, first things first, shot's too good, I can't get my stick there. So I had someone pour out a bucket of tennis balls and just start cranking five hole shots on me. Jack Stewart was the main one who helped me out with this. And he would just five hole, five hole, five hole. And I would get my body there in different ways and find out which one I liked the most by just taking tennis balls to the body. And then after that, I was like, all right, now let's throw the upper body in there also and not move the legs as much. So snapping my hands low. And then put it all together and find exactly what I need to do to get my get my stick low and my body there at the same time. And I think that's a pretty good way to go about everything. I found that that's what I do when maybe I'm not saving the ball the way I would like. Mm-hmm. Just think about one thing at a time. So if I'm dropping my hands because someone's dropping their body, the only thing that I'll think about is like my top hand needs to be at my ear. Like if it's not at my ear, that I'm dropping a little bit too low, and I'll just have someone hammer 100 shots at me that way until I feel like, all right, I'm locked in with that again. And now I can focus on the rest of my body.
I love that. I love that. I mean, that's, you're building up the muscle memory, right? Like it's very easy for me to like do a video explaining how to make a low save, but until you have that muscle memory of doing it, like you're never going to be as good. Like you got to get out there and get those reps. And that's kind of what you're doing by, all right, first I'm going to just do it with my legs and see what my feet need to do to get to this particular type of save. You use the tennis balls so you're not getting beat up, right? And then just building up that muscle memory. I like that. What else? Anything else come to mind, or is that pretty much it?
In terms of what?
In drills, in terms of drills.
I think a lot of what that I found this year that helped a whole lot is we had a short stick that had a pre-cut shaft. I think the Fogos used it for a while, but I think they got rid of it. So we filled the shaft with sand and rocks, so it was a little heavier.
Yeah.
And got tennis balls out. And there was a lot of practices that I didn't touch my goalie stick until like we got into clearing to start. And I would throw around with it to make sure it was hot. But in terms of saving the ball, I wouldn't touch my goalie stick until we were in like the first drill of 6-on-6 or 3-on-2s or whatever it was that day. And I just took a bunch of short stick shots, which helped me really get my drive back into my hands, especially on shots that are hard to reach. So like stick side low, offside low, getting there with a short stick, I've found is super helpful in terms of driving your stick into the ground, because the more you drive a short stick into the ground, your goalie head's going to be there a lot quicker than that short stick is. So you find that you're getting low a lot quicker with that. And it was fun for competitions and everything too. That's another part. You got to keep goalie fun. Sometimes it's a little tough on the psyche, but I mean, me and Jake Merrick, one of the other goalies on the team, would have competitions every single day before we actually started. Like there were drills about to start, and one of us would cut our warm-ups off a little early, be like, all right, we got to compete real quick. And just getting a quick competition, fun, and it didn't matter who won or lost. We would give each other a little crap for whoever won or lost that day.
Yeah.
But keeping goalie fun and enjoying yourself in that manner is something I think is really fun, because it can be tough on the brain for a little while if you get down on yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and even if you don't, like, if you're the only goalie out there, you can still do little competitions with your shooter or with yourself. You're like, this last time I say 5 out of 10, let me see if I can get my personal best. So there's always ways you can introduce the competition. And I love that. I mean, I think you're never going to work as hard as when you're trying to beat someone else, right? Or beat yourself.
The shooter competitions are always fun, because the shooters are there, at least during warmups, to help the goalie out.
Yeah.
So I would just keep doing those competitions until I finally beat the shooter, and I'd say, all right, I'm done. I'll hop in and start practicing that day. Sometimes it would take one try, sometimes it would be 10, but I'd beat him.
Yeah, that's funny. It makes me reminds me of the story that came to my mind of this goalie that was taking shots from Blaze, and Blaze was like, it was actually, he was doing indoor goalie, and Blaze was just like putting him in the corners and doing all this stuff. And then like he saved one of Blaze's, and then he's like, that's it, I'm done. And just walks.
End on something good.
Yeah, there you go. End on a save, right?
Absolutely. You have to.
Yeah. What about the mental game? We hit on it a little bit with the injury. Do you guys, you know, Air Force, did you guys have a sports psychologist? Did you guys talk about the mental game?
So our coach, actually, Coach John Thompson, who now is the offensive coordinator at UNC, and all the luck to him. He's an amazing coach, and he's I would even say he's like one of my best friends. He's made such an impact on my life. And that's interesting coming from a goalie and an offensive coordinator. He is unbelievably knowledgeable about sports psychology and everything. That was his major at Brown.
Cool.
So I would go to him all the time, and so many people on the team would utilize him and just go on a little walk with him, and they would come back and they would know exactly how to fix their problem. And he helped me out with everything from girl issues to me not standing right in the net. But I think one of the most like impactful things he said to me that helped me with my mental health, and this might be specific to college goalies or private school, high school athletes, is I came up and I said, I'm not seeing the ball. I haven't saved a ball at practice all week. I don't know how I'm going to like go into this game with confidence. And he grabbed me. He said, first off, you're wrong. You just have only focused on the negatives. And we don't have you here. We don't start you because you play well, because you're the best practice goalie. We play you because you're going to step up when we need you. And that's what you do. And that's him saying that, him believing in me like that. And it's true, because practice is different than the games at a certain point. And that's maybe only true for some starters, because I know the game for a while for me, the game was practice. And
right.
But him saying that to me was something really, really special to me. And he's given me so many tidbits of here's how to compartmentalize and like separate this going on in your life and lacrosse or school, stuff like that, as well as just in general, really good life advice. I can recall quite a bit of it. And I think about some of the stuff that he tells me every day. And one day after junior year of college, or after my sophomore year, he said, I don't need you to do anything this offseason to in the goal. What I need you to do is work on your self-talk. He said, I can't tell you how many times I hear you talk poorly about yourself after letting in a goal, or even after making a save but not making it clean or something like that. And I have switched the way I think about goalies since he's been my coach. And I think that's the biggest difference in my game, is having a hard time seeing the ball. And the ball goes in, instead of being like, man, I should have had that shot, saying, I've made that save before. I've made it 1,000 times before, and I'm going to make it 1,000 times in the future. That one just wasn't my shot. Reset, flush. I'm sure you've heard flush plenty of times. Flush that last shot down the toilet, and you're good. You're back in goal, and you're exactly who you want to be, and who you know that you have been in the past. So that's something that's huge. And then I think games to one is something that our team took over this year, and it's a really important thing, especially as a goalie. I would say I would let in a goal, look over the sideline, he would yell, Jay, hold up a finger, games to one, like next game, and then like next play. And same thing, I would make a killer save and a good outlet pass. He would look back, games to one. Like, don't get too hot on yourself. Don't get too cold on yourself. Be exactly who you are, and we're gonna have a good game. So keeping yourself in check a little bit, but that does not mean don't let yourself get in the flow, because that's something important, is getting loose and starting to feel yourself a little bit. But there's a difference between confidence and cockiness in the goal, and how you approach that.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, what a treat to have a sports psychologist as a coach. You know, you're getting lacrosse lessons and leadership, but you're also getting those mental game lessons. So let's dig into some of those real quick, because I think those are like really common issues that goalies go through. All the ones you mentioned, and so the first one was like, I'm not seeing the ball. And that could, I mean, we could be talking about a slump. We could be talking about just like a lapse of confidence. And essentially he just gave you a pep talk of like, you're focusing on the wrong thing, right? You're here for a reason, right? You think about all the times you have made those saves. You have seen the ball, like you have it in you. go get him, right? I mean, that's kind of the little pep talk that he gave you, right?
After a certain point of playing goalie, you have made a save everywhere on the net.
Right.
You can see it on all-time scan of the shots on net that you've saved. I bet it would cover the 6x6. So no,
and it would cover the area of the field. I mean, everything, right? Like the area of the field, the angle of the stick. You've made all the saves.
You've made everything, and right. You got to trust that you're going to make it again. And like I said, you're going to let in goals. And that's what I tell some of the guys that I'll coach. Like, you are not going to shut the other team out, most likely. If you do, wow, really, really impressive. But you're not going to shut the other team out. They're going to score. How are you going to react to that score? That's what's more important, because maybe they don't score in the first quarter or the second quarter, but they're going to score in the third quarter. And what are you going to do? Beat yourself up? No, you've made the save plenty of times. You're going to make it again. Take a deep breath, reset yourself, and be the goalie that you know you are.
Yeah. And also that transitions into that second point you said about, you know, when you do give up one, it's almost like instead of kicking yourself or like this negative self-talk of like, oh, I should have had that one. It's almost like I felt this sense of excitement of like, oh man, I can make that one. I'm going to get that one the next time they shoot it. That's cool. Right. You know what I mean? Like it's a whole different attitude, but it really helps goalies get over that, giving up those goals and being able to make that next save.
There's a lot of stuff that I really like from people that I think turn from jokes to something that I really embody. And one of those things is, say, I was talking to my brother about me, my five hole experience. I was like, can't get him, man. And the first thing he said, it was a good opportunity to work on that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, it is a good opportunity. I have a big opportunity to work on that right now. So how am I going to respond? I could complain about it, or I could see the opportunity in front of me to get better, and I can do that. And it's the same thing as, oh, man, I have to get in net for this goal, or I have to get in goal for this drill, and I know that the goalies get peppered during this drill. Or I get to get in net for this drill, because you're not going to get to play forever. So changing it from I have to I get to, or this happened to I have a good opportunity in front of me to improve. Those are two things that maybe a joke sometimes, like, oh, we have to get on the line and do some conditioning. Nah, we get to get on the line and do some conditioning. And you'll say that with your friends. We say it all the time at Air Force, and you're like chuckle about it and run and be tired about it. But you're laughing with your friends and you're having a good time. And that's what's the most important, like I've said, is reminding yourself that lacrosse is a bunch of fun. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be some times that you don't think are fun, but if you're doing them with your friends, it's going to be something you're going to remember forever.
Yeah, 100%. And then the final piece was the self-talk. And I think, you know, it's pretty natural for athletes, if you're competitive, to be hard on yourself. And a lot of them are just way too hard on ourselves. And we say these things to ourselves that we would never say to a teammate, right? Like, you wouldn't, you know, the goalie makes a save and like maybe doesn't control the rebound. Like you said, you wouldn't tell that, hey, come on, control the rebound, right? Like, you'd be like, nice save. But yet we do talk to ourselves that way. So that's something you gotta keep in mind in the mental game, is that positive self-talk, right?
And sometimes that's something that you don't even notice. And like I said, I didn't really notice how much I did it until my coach told me. So there were a couple of days that, say yesterday, I didn't do very well at practice, and maybe I was talking poorly about myself to myself. Go down, and when you're stretching with just the goalies, say, hey, positive talk only today. And the whole goalie group will only say positive things. And even to, like, that doesn't mean they'll shut up when you do bad. They'll say good stuff about the bad stuff that you did and remind you that there's something good in everything that you're doing that day. There's something that you did right. Mm-hmm. And so having a good group of guys around you is something pretty special. This last year I had, it was me, Quinn Richards, Nolan Parlett, Jake Merrick, Isaac Abramovitz, and we had a good goalie group of five who really supported each other through some thick and thin moments.
Awesome. That's awesome. And so now the coach moved over to UNC. What a great, and he gave you some tips for the ladies, man. He really got it. Was he the one that recommended growing out that mustache? 'Cause I got to admit, that's looking nice.
Unfortunately, you're not allowed to grow it out when you're at the academy.
Gotcha.
It's kind of a you earned it thing as a second lieutenant that a lot of us do. And we get a lot of crap for it, but right now I'm sticking to it.
Love it. Well, I'm in my 40s now. This is the first opportunity I've had to grow out some flow. So I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm enjoying it. What I could never, I guess I could have. I've always could have, but for some reason I always had short hair. So
when you can, where you can. It's a good look. It's in right now.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. The mullet's coming back, right?
Absolutely,
just
it is.
Just need the mustache to really, really top off the look. So maybe like by the time this comes out, I'll have it all together.
You look like a true Australian.
There you go. Cool, Jay. So what's next for you in terms of lacrosse? You're on the Water Dogs roster for a couple weeks when I think Dylan Ward went on paternity leave, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and you kind of stepped in and played there. How was that experience? Talk to me about playing with the Water Dogs.
It was really cool. So the first week that I was with them throughout training camp and week one, he was still playing with the Mammoth fighting for a championship.
That's right.
And so I stepped in there. It was me and Matt DeLuca. And I have two good memories from the first practice. I have a bunch of good memories, but two of my favorite ones. I'm walking on the field and one of the midfielders goes, "Oh, we finally recruited a small goalie." I'm 6'3", but DeLuca's 6'6" and Dylan Ward is 6'5". And I was like, I guess I am the short guy on the team now. That's interesting. I've never been there before. So that one, and then the first time that it was the first shot I saw, I was like, okay, these guys are different. And it's kind of what we talked on earlier about stepping out at the wrong time. So, Sowers has hands free on the right side and there's a pass down and I step out, I'm going to cut down the angle and anyone else in college shoots that shot. They looks at me. Dips his whole body like he's going to shoot. Stick motion says, "I'm going to shoot it." And he slips it across the crease to Zach Currier, who's naked on the backside. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, well, tough. He's got an empty net. And then he proceeds to load a high bar down on an empty net. And I was like, okay, these guys are the truth. Yeah. So I had to change how I played a little bit in the PLL too, in terms of it's – sometimes you can't read their body as well because they're all masters of deception. And you got to pick and choose times that you come out a little more than other times. 2-point shots are good opportunities to step out and cut down the angle pretty good.
Yeah. Going back to that Zach Currier just made me, I remember I was watching a PLL game with some buddies of mine and he did that where like someone passed him the ball and the goalie was way out of position and it was like getting back into position. It was kind of like an open net and he rips it low to high and just like stings it like right underneath the bar. And we're like, that is
was that this year.
It was this year. Yeah.
I think that was Ethan Walker who did that one. Cause I remember that play specifically. Whereas I was like, what a cocky shot.
Yeah, right. Because that was like so unnecessary. All he had to do is just catch it and like shoot it in the open goal. And he's like, all right, I'm just going to rip a low. I think it was against the Chrome. Is that? Yeah. Okay.
That sounds right. I remember
it wasn't
shot.
Him. So maybe it's just a Water Dog thing, but you saying that kind of brought back that memory of watching that game. And I was like, wow, these guys are good. Cause you know, he's hit that shot 500 times, right? And if you're going to shoot that level of shot on an empty net, you better be gosh darn sure you're gonna hit it.
Yeah, there's a good locker room of lacrosse town and an even better locker room full of dudes. There's yeah. Some really good guys.
That's awesome. Anything you learned from DeLuca? Because he's a super tall dude. You're the short guy out there at 6'3". He's super wide. Have you played around with that wide base at all?
I have. I've played around with every base there is, and I think I honestly play with whatever I'm feeling comfortable with that day. I've got a generally wide stance, I'd say.
Okay.
He can take it to the next level sometimes. When someone's coming around the left post,
yeah,
I've seen what he does. So he's a righty. Someone comes around the left post, he'll plant his left foot right there on the post like most goalies do, and then step back really flat, and his other foot will almost be on – like the other post.
Yeah.
and he'll dip down his stick but stay tall. And if they want to reach back and pull it near side, he's long enough that he can put his entire stick in the corner of the net as his left knee's on the ground. So he's just got so much length to play around with.
Yeah,
he was really fun to pick the mind of, and another really good guy that I could call anytime, and he would help me with something like that. He's a really good guy.
That's awesome. Cool. So what's next for you? Are you going to do a tryout with them next year? Have you guys talked about that, or are you just kind of play it, see how it goes?
Seeing how it goes, hopefully. Okay. Hopefully I'll see what's going on with sixes right now, because that's right. Not something that Dylan's able to do. And I have a very good relationship and nothing but respect for Coach Copeland. So we'll see what's going on there. I talked to him on Sunday night. So we'll see.
Cool. Have you played in that sixes format?
Never.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because like, I mean, you talk about goalie being a hard position in the pros in the regular game. It's like now in sixes, you're just getting, you know, shot at just constantly. And so I talked to Washuda, who played for the Archers in that championship series. And yeah, we were talking about it quite extensively. In a way, he said like the pressure was off because you're not expected to make those saves, right? Because you're just getting inside shots all day. And so he felt in a way like I didn't put the pressure on myself like I did in the outdoor game, and that felt nice. So we'll see.
That makes a lot of sense. You see.
And then the other thing that he liked too is kind of like basketball, when you get scored on, like you inbound the ball and you go, right? So I don't have time to run my thoughts in my head. It's like I just pick the ball up and we're off. So that's kind of cool aspect for us goalies.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Cool, Jay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, kind of sharing your story, sharing your experience. Good luck within the sixes and in your future career. If you had to leave the goalies with the final piece of advice, what would that be?
There's going to be goals scored on you. That's all right. Have fun, smile. You're playing with your best friends. Lacrosse doesn't last forever, but it's going to give you the best relationships that you'll ever have. And work hard. If you don't regret anything, that's the best way to play the career. It doesn't matter how it ended. And if you can push yourself as hard as you can, you're not going to have a whole lot to regret.
Beauty. Jay, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Air Force graduate Jay Rose, PLL Water Dog goalie. Awesome to hear his stories. He is the small goalie at 6'3". That was a great story. Hope you learned a thing or two with that episode. Reminder to sign up for the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 11, December 11th. We're going to get started. If you've never been to a Lacrosse Goalie Summit event, they're tons of fun. It is 4 days of free virtual lacrosse goalie training. So I've invited 16 coaches. They're all going to give a presentation on different aspects of the lacrosse goalie position. We've got visual training experts. We've got sports psychologists, mental game. There'll be sessions on drills, lots of stuff, sessions on physical training and recovery. Going to be an amazing event. December 11th through 14th. Did I mention it's free? Absolutely free to attend live. GoalieSummit.com. You got to register there. Put your email in there. You'll start to get all the links to attend the Zoom sessions and get all the relevant information. GoalieSummit.com. GoalieSummit.com. I hope to see you there. We get started December 11th. I'm super pumped. Going to be a fun event. Get your ticket. GoalieSummit.com. That'll do it for this week. We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, get out there. Get some work in, do well, and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.